Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2. My name is Patrick Bicknell, and in this season of this podcast, we are talking through the biblical Christian worldview. How do we, as followers of Christ, view our world, the people around us? How do we interact with society? And how can we reach that world with the gospel? And that's our aim and desire with this podcast, is to give you, the listener, some tools to best reach your world with the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ, that he sent, that God sent his only son to this world to live a perfect, sinless life, to go to the cross and die for our sins, to be buried and rose again, so that whoever would believe in him, repent of their sins, surrender to him as Lord, will be saved. That's what we want to help you share to your world. And so in these episodes, we've been going through different topics of our worldview. And in the last episode, we talked about the government. What is the Christian's relationship towards government supposed to be? How can we use this area of our society to proclaim the gospel and to open up opportunities for gospel truth? And in this episode, we're going to talk about immigration. And so join with me is Josh. Join with me in his house. We're going to be talking through this topic a bit. So, Josh, do you want to kick us off with immigration?
Thank you for letting me join you, Pat.
You are so welcome.
So nice.
It's great to have you here.
Invite me to my study to hang out. Yes. So, why I, you know, as we were brainstorming topics for this, this issue seems to be pretty heavy in the forefront of our culture today. The idea of immigration. So we dealt with government last time. If you haven't listened to that one, go listen to that episode before this one, because I think a lot of these things will, at least I think for us as we're going through, we're mentally going to build on that logic.
Absolutely.
So the government's responsibility is to make laws. Our responsibility is to obey the laws. So should there be immigration laws? Well, yes, because the government has a responsibility for the good of its people and to make laws. And our responsibility is to obey laws. People that disobey laws, whether that's a traffic law or whether that's an immigration law, government has the sword. Government has the ability to punish those who break the law. Now, we can disagree with the nature of a law, but unless it violates, like we talked about, the exception from Acts, we need to obey the law.
Yeah, biblical commands.
So, but my, when I think about immigration, first of all, I love meeting immigrants. It's fascinating to me. I was born here. So I'm, you know, born and raised in Michigan, very much a Midwesterner in my thinking.
Once again, add S's to everything.
That's right. And, but also like very Western and very much like Michigan. I don't know, I'm very comfortable in Michigan. I love meeting people who have come from a different country and can share that. And it's a, it helps you see the world in a much different way, a bigger way. I asked a guy one time, I said, okay, so you came to the States when you were, I think he was 12 or 13, something like that. And you're never going back to your home country. Like, so it's war torn. He's never going to be able to, I go, but you don't really seem to fit here. I go, do you feel like you're a man without a country? He goes, I do. I don't feel like that. I've never had that feeling. And it's not just like my country, it's my state. Like this home. So for me, that those types of stories and those types of conversations, hearing from people, I personally love. The Bible speaks a lot about our responsibility to immigrants, our care for immigrants. I was thinking about a passage that we'll come to in Matthew 25 in just a moment. First, Exodus chapter 22, says this in verse 21, "You shall not wrong a sojourner," so an immigrant, "or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." Mm. And then he goes on to say, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child." That theme will be throughout the rest of the scripture, especially the Old Testament. To not mistreat immigrants, to not mistreat the widow, to not mistreat the orphan, mm-hmm. to not mistreat the poor. Man, I don't like the way that a lot of Christians speak about immigrants. I think it's okay biblically to have an opinion about what immigration law should be, but I don't, the racist jokes, the prejudice, the racism against someone from a different country or a different nationality.
Yeah,
or
simply being born somewhere else.
Simply being born somewhere else. I think the point of that Exodus passage is, first of all, like a law, don't do this. But one of the reasons you don't do this is because you remember what it was like. Mm. You remember what it was like to be in a land where you didn't fit,
yeah.
where you were oppressed. You're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Another, when I think about also Christian kind of thought process of immigration, Matthew 25, it's one of my favorite passages. I have to discipline myself not to preach this passage whenever I get a chance. But it is a kind of an imagery, a vision of judgment. Verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Mm. One time I said the word "separate" there. My kids thought it was awesome. So verse 33, "He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." Mm. "So I was an immigrant and you gave me hospitality." I think in this case, sometimes it is not just you gave me hospitality and food, but you gave me a place to stay. Mm-hmm. You put a roof over my head. A few other things there. Then the righteous will answer in verse 37, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you," etc. And the king, verse 40, will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Mm. Then the goats who are on the left, who are separated, who are being judged, who are going to go into eternal judgment, he says the same things to them. He says, "You didn't do these things. You didn't welcome the stranger." Well, when did we see you and not do that? When you saw the least of these and you just ignored them. Mm. So I think there has to be a heart of compassion. I think the Bible gives us, again, government's lean of authority, of good of its citizens and safety of a nation and all those things. Like, that stuff is fine. But our care for those who are from a foreign land, who don't know anybody, mm-hmm. who don't speak our language. First of all, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love having those conversations.
Yeah,
I love meeting them and hearing how they got here. Like, it's fascinating. But I think before the Lord, like it says there, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." Well, when did we do this to you, Jesus? Well, when you did it to the least of these. Mm. When you did it for people that couldn't pay you back. Mm. This is when you did it to me.
Yeah, someone hurting, someone that needed someone to stand up for them.
Yeah.
So I think that leads into a good question. How do we balance this biblical call to compassion, of helping the downtrodden, the lowly, the immigrant, with the need for lawful order and government policy? How can we have a balance there?
Well, there seems to be, in the Old Testament, particularly for the nation of Israel, there seemed to be those who would assimilate into their nation. Now, that was around a religion. That was around the covenant. That was around circumcision. They would assimilate. Mm-hmm. So an immigrant convert to Judaism and at the same time become part of the nation and become part of the covenant people. You see, you know, you see examples of that in the Old Testament. So several, I'm thinking several, like Rahab becomes part of the nation, and Ruth, and mm-hmm. you see some of those instances. So I do think a nation has to have, you know, assimilation.
Yeah.
So is that laws? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
A nation that has laws established by God, as right, that's Romans 13. I think it's looking at whose responsibility is what.
Mm.
The government's responsibility is to enforce laws, to maintain order, to do good for its citizens, you know, to promote justice and righteousness.
Yeah.
What's our job as Christians?
Mm.
Well, to submit to the government. We had a lady stop by one time at the office in Holly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever told you the story.
Mm-hmm.
Lady stopped by in the office, and Hispanic lady. And she said, "Hi, could I need some help with some food or something." I'm like, "Oh yeah, we can get you that." I'm saying, "Hey, I'm gonna go right back in, and I'm gonna get our food bank director." And she was like, "Oh," she got very, very scared. She's yeah. like, "You're not going to call the police, are you?"
Wow.
And I was like, "No."
Yeah.
No. Like, I don't know why she was nervous. I don't know if it was her immigration status. I don't know if it was,
yeah,
you know, a warrant, or I didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. what her, you know, fear came from. But I thought, ma'am, I'm just glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be honored to, we have the ability to help you with some food. We're going to help you with the ability.
Yeah.
So, you know, every person has their limits on how much they can do, because we all have a limited amount of resources,
yep.
some more, some less. I think as the opportunity comes up to care for someone, we should.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that care should be like, "Hey, are you here legally or are you here illegally?" I think we should care for people, especially people from foreign lands, people that come here. And as we talked about a little bit ago, I think the gospel opportunity is coming to us. Like, this is what's this to me, this is what's fascinating, especially where we are in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We have a massive population of people coming from all over the world here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge population of people from the Middle East coming here. The gospel opportunity is massive.
I mean, even in Walden Lake a few years ago at VBS, there's a large portion of
yes.
Asian people coming over. And
Japanese,
and John Carter got to share the gospel. I mean, if you want to share that, yeah. that story a little bit, you were
to me,
close to it. But
oh my yeah. gosh, I loved it. It was the idea of having that VBS and all of these engineers that come from Japan to work mm-hmm. in the auto industry for a couple of years. So their kids came to VBS. Well, they didn't speak really English.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get the gospel to those sweet little Japanese kids?
Mm-hmm.
Well, praise the Lord, John Carter grew up in Japan.
Yeah,
got his dad, who was a missionary for years, to in Japan. They came down. They shared the gospel, and John relayed the story. There was this little girl who heard the gospel and was like, "Wow, I can't believe Jesus would do that for me."
Mm.
So the seed of the gospel was planted in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible to think about. So to me, there are several things that intersect here when I think about immigration. Gospel opportunity
mm-hmm.
for us right here, that those folks who may come to know the Lord. Jen and I met a girl in Troy a couple weeks ago. She grew up Muslim, and her name was Amelia, and she's a young adult. I forget exactly how old she was, but she grew up Muslim, and earlier this year came to know Christ, got baptized. And so I was asking her, how does the church, how can Christians evangelize, reach out to, share the gospel more effectively with Muslim people? Because we have Muslim populations, mosques popping up around us. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a gospel opportunity staring us in the face.
Yeah.
And I think we need to look at it as that. I think not as Christians, I think we need to look at that and go, this is first and foremost a gospel opportunity. I'm not mad, quote unquote, that America is changing. I'm thankful that people who I would never have the gospel opportunity to go travel and see are here, are my neighbors. I work with them. I see them in the store, creating relationships, gospel opportunities. Those people then become disciple makers, can travel back to different places via, you know, they can go there physically, but they also through phone, also through text, also through social media, those men and women who may never have a chance of hearing the gospel are now coming to know the Lord. So in my opinion, immigration is an evangelism opportunity that the church needs to seize. Because we don't know if we're always going to have it. The other thing that intersects there too is technology, like I talked about with social media, but also AI, the ability to use, what's the Google Translate? Mm-hmm. You have that. What's Apple's Translate? Apple have a translation app? Okay, but Google has one. I know that, and I've seen the Apple one on here. To me, that's the type of stuff that, okay, I don't know Japanese or I don't know Arabic, but I want to appreciate someone's culture, and I want them to know the hope of the gospel. So how can I do that? Maybe that's learning part of a language. Maybe that's leveraging technology. But we have the Why God book just got translated into Spanish, so we're hoping to have that available for people. To me, those are the things that I want to lean into that that zone that is not our comfort zone.
And I like how you said like we need to have eyes for that, because in America we have this unique opportunity where some countries don't have that, where there's not a lot of foreigners, so to speak, coming in. We have all sorts of different people coming in.
Tons of people.
And it'd be wrong for us to not look for them and to show them love and to evangelize to them.
Yeah, guys that work in engineering will often have guys from different countries come in, whether it's Asia or whether that's Germany. Well, that's not just an opportunity to learn about someone else's culture. That's a gospel opportunity. And I think we need to look at, again, as immigration, as a gospel opportunity. People are coming here for different reasons. It's by divine design that God has put you in a cubicle or an apartment or in a neighborhood, or those Japanese kids come into the VBS, because they did not come this last year. That was, we don't know if that was a one and done.
Yeah, they didn't.
Ever. We will not know until heaven, likely, what if any fruit came from that. And to me, I go, that's awesome. To me, that's also what Paul talks about with, some are sowing the seed of the gospel, some are watering the seed of the gospel, and some are harvesting the seed of the gospel. Whatever role in that life cycle we need to play, let's do that. And immigration is providing that opportunity. So I don't think order, support, laws, I think, great. I mean, have an opinion about that. But we do not demean countries. We do not... We do not diminish people as secondary. We don't say racist or prejudice jokes. Christians do not act like that.
Which, again, why it's so important to go through these episodes, right? Made in the image of God. God created everything. You know, obviously these episodes aren't the end all be all, but it helps us to see when we construct our biblical worldview going down the list. When we get to immigration, we already have this background knowledge of made in the image of God. God created them. They gave them value. So who are we to, like you said, have these – racist jokes for a laugh, like demean a person's value for that? So sad.
Listen, I'm telling you, and I was, and this is the third time I'm saying this, was a little redundant. I love hearing immigrant stories. They are fascinating. Any chance I get, I want to sit with someone not born in America. How did you get here? What's your story like? How have you, how much of your culture have you held on to? What about America that you like? What about America that you dislike? What has morphed into your family? How are your kids? Look, are you teaching them the language that
you
grew up with?
Share some ways that's strengthened your faith, maybe?
How has that strengthened my faith?
Or made you appreciate the way the Lord's working in places that we don't get to see? Has there been anything that's impacted you that way?
I think to me it is. So I met my college Spanish professor, immigrated from Cuba when he was a young boy. Mm. So he fled Cuba from when Fidel Castro took over. Mm-hmm. So I think it was 1959. I met him in 2002. He was a college professor, didn't know the Lord, and he and I just connected as people. And it was through just the hand of God that he came to know the Lord. I look at that and go, God redeemed a conflict that pushed him and his family out of his country,
yeah,
that he truly loved, and he'll never go back. Mm. He came to Miami and then came from Miami to Dallas. And that's where I met him. I went from Michigan to Dallas to college. The circumstances are nuts.
Yeah.
I needed Spanish. I needed 4 semesters of Spanish. I only had 2 semesters I wanted to do it in. For the first time in his 30-year career, he offered fast-track Spanish the exact year I needed it.
Wow.
And it worked out with my schedule, and that's how I met him.
Yeah.
I look and go, God, how much more did you have to organize to put him and I together? So to me, I look and go how God moved all of these different pieces, mm-hmm, for that opportunity for the gospel. Someone who came across the globe has a fascinating story.
Yeah.
And you can even say, man, God brought us together. Mm-hmm. Isn't it crazy? Like you grew up there, you lived there. To me, you can say to them, God put us in this room. Mm-hmm. My neighbors are German. Mm. They've been here in the States 10, 15 years or something like that. Loved hearing their story. Loved hearing their perspective. Loved hearing about Germany. Looking for the gospel opportunities. Looking for the chance to share Jesus. To me, that's what people need to do. And then you'll hear stories of people who met the Lord, and you'll hear about the church in a different country. And
yeah, I actually spoke to a man once who he was born on the Pakistan-India border.
Okay.
Family's still there. He moved over young adult age, and he's older now, still has family living in that area. And it was really cool. We were just talking about testimonies. He's sharing his faith.
Was he Muslim?
He was not.
Really?
But they were Christian in that area.
In Pakistan?
Yeah. And so, which his family still is. I guess a missionary came to their village, evangelized to them, and that, I think he said the village got named after the missionary, too.
Wow.
And so, like, they have a Christian church there. So he's talking to me about church, and he's like, he just said how much he loves the church, right? Not the building, but the church.
Yeah.
And he shared a time when he was in a congregation where people are just bickering over a carpet. And he's like, my family members, their church has been bombed for the third time this week.
Yeah.
And the only way they can go and hear a sermon is to go to that church knowing they might die. And we're arguing about carpet. Mm-hmm. And I hear this man's faith in an area that's so extremely hostile to Christians. And he brought up how the Muslims have persecuted them, right? Yeah. They've gone through so much of this, but they know this is what they're called to do.
Yeah.
And it was so encouraging to hear from him, like, coming to a whole new country and going through it was amazing.
Well, it also changes your perspective. It mm-hmm. humanizes. When you have a name and a face, you can't paint with a broad brush.
Yeah.
Like Pakistan, I think, I forget what the percentage of Christians are in Pakistan. It's incredibly small.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like single digits. I want to say 1%, but Grant, look that up. This is how many Christians are in Pakistan? What percentage? But Pakistan was formed like you had British India or whatever, and mm-hmm. they pushed all the Muslims to the east and west, and that's what created West Pakistan and East Pakistan, and then East Pakistan became a different country. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
1.37% of the entire population of Pakistan. That's right. Wow. What country was East Pakistan? Was it Bangladesh? I always get these.
Doing the Grant, pull that up.
Grant, pull this up. Doing I like our, this.
This
Bangladesh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they pushed the Muslims to the outside of the country. Huge conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, he experienced, like, they experienced that for so long. And, like, he has family members that they've tried getting out, but they're like, no, this is my home, and
yeah,
this is where I'm going to live. And
it makes you appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you appreciate different cultures, different countries, see God's hand of mm-hmm. providence. I know you love that word.
Mm-hmm.
See God's hand yep. of providence, like yep. in different things. So to me, immigration is a gospel opportunity that the church needs to seize.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just love that. I'm glad you went to that verse in Matthew 25. You know, not that we do it to, you know, because, oh, we may be just to get brownie points with Jesus, mm-hmm. but it's out of a heart that's been changed by Jesus, where
yeah.
we have eyes for these people and we want to welcome them. We want to show them hospitality because, what was it, Exodus? Like, we once were sojourners. We once were the downtrodden. Yes. We've been shown love. Who are we to then reserve that?
Well, we're spiritual strangers, right?
Mm.
That's the Hebrews 11. We're spiritual strangers in this world. And I think we need to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that waiters, waitresses, you know, I sold some tile to a guy, a lawyer, who was a Palestinian man.
Mm-hmm.
When a couple years ago, when October 7th happened, I hadn't talked to him in years. I sold him tile. He called me. He called me grieved by what was happening.
Wow.
And it was an unbelievable opportunity to care for a man who is Muslim,
mm.
but called me the Christian.
Yeah.
To pray for him. Like, dude, I feel like those conversations shake, to use worldview, but they shake your perspective where you're like, okay, now I have a name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I have a face. Now I can't just generalize because, mm-hmm. that isn't true because I got a friend. You know, it's like your friend in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. You're your friend from Pakistan. Like, you know these things, yeah. right? So, anyways, I'm grieved by that. I was so grieved by the racism in the church against Middle Eastern people after 9/11. My oldest daughter studied Arabic for 5 years.
Wow.
Because wow. I'm like, we will not be that. Racist. Yeah. We're not going to be prejudiced against someone because they're from the Middle East. Like, we want to study their culture. We want to study their art. We want to understand their humans, created yeah. in the image of God. They need the gospel.
Yeah, I got value and purpose, and yep. it can help us in our faith. Thank you for listening to the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2, Christian Worldview. We're grateful for the opportunity to share real, practical truth that will help you preach the gospel in your world. If you don't yet know Christ, we invite you to listen to the gospel message we share at the beginning of each episode. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at questions@theriverchurch.cc and we'll do our best to answer them. If you would like to get connected or hear more about the River Church, you can text the word River Church to 97,000. Thank you for listening. We hope you will tune back in soon.